Amen. Praise the Lord for a godly mother. And I have no doubt that the person that has probably prayed the most for me in my life is my mom. And I'm just so thankful. Before I could text her this morning to wish her a happy Mother's Day, she'd already texted me to let me know she was praying for our services here today all morning. Now, I'll give her this. She had a two-hour head start on all of us because she's in Oklahoma, but I praise the Lord for her. Amen. Let's find 2 Kings, the book of 2 Kings, and of course, today I want to speak to our mothers, and we're so thankful for you, and I want to preach on the faith of mom, and certainly probably the strongest faith there is, and moms always seem to be able to have faith in their children. And that's an amazing thing that I think moms gifted mothers in, that they can always see that there is hope in their children, praying for their children. I was just studying, just reading different things. And I read just a few quotes. I mean, there's just numerous to be used. But I read Abraham Lincoln. He stated this: "No one is poor who had a godly mother." And man, certainly that's the case. And there's been just a story after story of mothers influencing the direction of the children. Emerson, the poet, he said this. He said, "Men are what their mothers make them. Men are what their mothers make them." And certainly today we want to just celebrate our mothers, say thank you to our mothers. And I think one of the things I think is probably the most amazing is about mom is she can tirelessly work. I know my wife can tirelessly work in our home, and nobody says thank you. Nobody says, I mean, she can get flat frustrated with our children. I mean, to where she's ready to pull her hair out. And I think every mom has been there. Amen. That's part of motherhood. And then someone can do something that wasn't requested. I mean, they can just do the smallest thing. I mean, they could just do the dishes, honestly. And a clean sink will make my wife, I think most mothers would go, oh, somebody does care. And kids, listen, a clean sink, amen? And you can be the biggest knucklehead in the world, and you did the dishes without having to be told to do it. And that's what's, I think, most probably amazing about being a mother, because that does it for them. You know, I am loved, people care about me. I mean, us men, we're a lot harder to please, aren't we? But thankful our mothers are not, and just willing to love us even though we're a bunch of knuckleheads, amen? It's a blessing. If you found 2 Kings in chapter 4, stand with me. And we're just going to read 7 verses here. Just this story in the life of the prophet Elisha. It says in verse number 1, he says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha," who was the prophet of God in the land of Israel, "saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be his bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou hast come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him. She shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and they who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, Bring me yet a vessel. And they said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." So we want to look at the faith of mom this morning. And I want to just address that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into our message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you so much for your love. And Lord, we've come here today, and certainly we've come to give attention to the women that do the most around the house of God, most definitely, and that care for each and every one of us, and Lord, have Lord given of themselves tirelessly to care for the homes that are represented here. Lord, but at the same time, we don't want that to be overshadowed by who deserves the preeminence here this morning, and that is you. And so, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would come down and meet amongst us, and God, that we would be encouraged by this story to be people of faith. I encourage our moms that they would continue to operate in faith, and that they would understand that as they would operate in accordance to the Word of God, their labor is in no way in vain. Lord, help us today that we might be able to leave here help, that we might be able to know that we've heard from you, that we might be encouraged, that we might be able to do more for your work and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is not Mother's Day, rather, is not just a day for Hallmark to make money by you buying cards. It's using as just a way that we might be able to enhance restaurants by taking mom out to eat. Amen. But it's a day where we stop to remember those ones who caused you to have clean clothes to wear here today. Amen. And made sure all the kids' clothing was set out and made sure that they ate breakfast and made sure they came here nice and clean, and that's a blessing. And certainly, our wives and our mothers have go through great lengths. My kids would show up wearing all sorts of weird things that don't match. Had it not been, and probably I would as well. Had it not been for my wife, amen. And so the blessing that she is, and the blessing of giving. And I go and work, and I come home, and I think I'm like most men. My mentality is to that it's time to sit down. And my wife gets up and works, and then when I'm ready to sit down, she's still working. And I have to coax her, "Hey, listen, why don't you sit down with me?" And she says, "There's too much to do." And I try to remind her all the time, "There'll be too much to do tomorrow as well." But she's constantly going and constantly working. And she has an incredible commitment to our children. My wife has an incredible commitment to our children. She's their school teacher. She is their she's going to get mad if I say this wrong. For lack of a better term, she's our cook. She's our maid. And sadly, I'd like to say she never feels that way. But the reality is sometimes that we aren't that good at that at home. But she takes all those commitments on. She takes all those commitments upon herself, and she's very committed to our children. Without consideration for her children, she doesn't do anything. I always like, "Hey, let's go do this, let's go do that." And she said, "Well, we can't do this or that because we got to do school, and we've been gone too much already, and we got to take care of this at home, and the kids need this and the kids need that." We're honestly, as a man, I'm just thinking about what would be fun to go do. And she thinks that everything she does with a consideration of what would be best for our children. She takes that commitment very seriously. She takes the sacrifice very seriously. And she would embody the concept, I would say this, of unconditional love to them and to me and to our home and in her life and in what she does. And I would dare say that if you got to stand up and say so about your wife or your mother, you would probably have a very similar testimony of the work and of the labor that she puts into your life, into the life of your children, into the life of your home. It would be a much different place, would be no doubt about that. And in our text, we have a brokenhearted widow that's come to the prophet of God. She came to Elijah, and she is seeking to for some help. Her husband was someone that was that obviously was a religious person. It says in verse number 1, "The servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord." And so we understand that he had a walk with the Lord. This was a son of the prophet. He was maybe a young man. We would surmise that because he was a son of the prophet, that he was one that was growing in his relationship with God. He was under the tutelage, obviously, of Elijah. He was being trained in the ways of walking in the Lord and speaking and being the mouthpiece of God. He was being trained in all those things. And so we would say this, that more than likely this would have been an untimely death. This had not been something they had prepared for. This was not something they were ready for. Otherwise, they would not be in the condition that they're in, that now the creditors were coming to take her sons and to put her sons into labor. There was a debt that they owed. And the debt was due, and the creditor wanted payment. My creditors are the same way. I just don't understand that. But that's how creditors are. The debt was due. So she goes to the prophet, and she's seeking help. She's desiring that she would receive some kind of assistance. And I love the first response of the prophet in verse number 2. His first response, "What shall I do for thee? What do you want me to do about it? You have a problem. What shall I do for thee?" That they're going to be. Now, this could have been a response for two different reasons. Number one, he was a prophet, and he was probably broke as every other prophet. Amen? As any other preacher. That could have been the reason for his to respond, "What shall I do for thee?" But I'd rather think this, that he knew this. That the only true answer that this woman had was not going to come from some human being. It was going to come from God alone. And God was the answer to her problem. And God had the answer to her problem. And God was able to meet the need. And I'd say this for every mother that's here today. And you would come and you say, "You know what? My son is in bondage to the world. Or my son is in trouble. Or my child is not walking with the Lord." I want to just reaffirm in your heart today. God is the answer. And you need to continue to pray. And you need to continue to seek God. And I want you to understand that no matter where your child is today, the Holy Spirit of God knows how to get a hold of them and can get a hold of them and desires to get a hold of them. And don't give up praying, mothers. Don't give up praying at all. He knew only God could meet her need. I don't think it was just that he didn't want to meet her need or that he was financially unable, but he wanted to know that God, and I'm telling you, it's fun to sit back sometimes and to see God meet needs. It's fun sometimes to see any need get met, but it's even more fun when you're the one in need to step back and to see, you know what, the only way that need got met was because God met it. If God had not intervened, there's just no possible way. It's not explainable in human with human reasoning. It doesn't happen in any other way other than God moved in and God did something. And then in verse number 2, we see the second question. He says, "Tell me, what is in thine house? What do you have? What is in your possession?" And I want to make this observation that many times people have exactly what they need. They just haven't taken account of it yet. They have exactly what's needed. They just haven't taken time to consider what it is that they actually do have. When you're counseling with people or talking to people, it's amazing how many times they answer their problems for themselves. "I don't know how to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know." And as you'll talk, and the Bible says that the heart of man is a deep water, and man of wisdom will draw it out. And as you talk to somebody, it says they answer their own problem. And so Elisha says, "Listen, what do you have?" And she said, "I don't have anything. All I have is a little pot of oil. I mean, it's very insignificant. It's not worth anything. It really couldn't accomplish anything." But the reality is, when we turn what we have over to God, and when we'll by faith allow God to use what we have, God's able to do anything with it. He can make anything from nothing. I mean, come on. He can take anything, and he can make something miraculous out of it. He can take the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he can feed multitudes, can't he? He can take we talked about this in Sunday school. He can take a little child that everybody says she's dead, and God, Christ, can come along and say, no, there's life still here. There's life still in her, and see her raised up from the sickbed. I'm telling you, God is is a miraculous working God. Generally, the problem is we have not yielded what we do have over to God. And you say, well, I don't have much. Well, why don't you give the little that you do have to God? And here's the truth, that he that is faithful in the least will be faithful also in much. And if you'll give the little bit that you do have over to God by faith, God's going to be able to turn it into something great and miraculous to his honor and to his glory. But if you'll hold on to what you have and you'll despise what little you do have, guess what? God's not ever going to be able to use it. If you just sit around and say, well, I don't really have anything, I just have this. And that was her response. Look at what she says in verse number 2. Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. But what can anybody possibly do with a pot of oil? Well, listen to me. God can make everything out of nothing. What could he do if he starts with something? Come on. If we have a God who spoke the world into existence from literally nothing, and you say, you know what, God, you've given me something. We're not starting with nothing. We're starting with something here, God. I'm telling you, if what we see and what we know came from nothing, what in the world could we imagine God doing with a little bit of something that he's given us? And God generally has given you everything you need. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God's generally already given every one of us everything we need. We generally lack the faith we need to see the powerful hand of God move in and stir in and do something with what he's already given us. I want you to understand, in your life, God's given you everything you need. He has. But it's going to be your lack of faith that's going to keep him from working. In this church, God's given us everything we need. It's going to be our lack of faith that's going to hinder his hand from moving. That's what it's going to be. I want us to notice just a few things about this poor woman, this widow woman. Number one, I want us just to consider her problems. Her problems. When it rains, it pours sometimes, it seems, in life. And her problem was this. She has lost her husband. And I already said probably we would surmise. I know I'm surmising. I'm acknowledging that. But we would surmise that this was not something that she would have expected. This would have been an untimely death. He was a son of a prophet. He would have not been at a later point in his life where he had prepared yet to be dead. Therefore, he wouldn't have had debts. He wouldn't have had creditors that are coming on. So we're surmising that he was a young man. The death of her husband in her day was an overwhelming difficulty. They didn't have welfare in her day. They didn't have government assistance in her day. It would have been a very difficult thing for her to be. There was no life insurance that was going to be coming in. No Social Security that was going to be there for her. The creditor was also this. The creditor was now coming and demanding that the debt be paid, and that the debt be paid in full. And he was well within his rights, and you can go back and read in the law. The creditor was well within his rights to come and take her two sons and put them in bondage and make him his slaves according to the Old Testament law that she would be under. He was well within his rights to make her sons slaves until the debt would be paid. And we might stop and we might say, well, that's just not right. He shouldn't do that. That's very cruel. That's very mean. Doesn't she already understand? She's just lost her husband and now he's going to take her two sons away, and thus you see her problem. She had a big problem. Certainly as a mother, she did not want to lose her sons. But what she was about to lose was everything that truly mattered to her. Everything that allowed her to be who she was. Certainly, many mothers can find their identity. I don't think this is a wrong thing. They can find their identity in their family and in their children. I think it's a perfect place, a wonderful place to find that. So she had problems. But she also had her priorities. She had her problems, but she had her priorities. Number one, her first priority was hearing from God. That's what the beautiful thing about this woman's faith was. Her first priority was hearing from God. And we can infer that this family possessed some godly priorities. The husband, he feared the Lord. He was the servant of the prophet, and he feared the Lord. And so he would have guided his family in the fear of the Lord. Her husband was a prophet in training during a very dark and a very difficult time, if you'll study the history of Israel. In fact, if you'll go back to the prophet Elijah that Elisha took up the mantle of, if you'll just go back a few years, Elijah had been in a place and had gotten to a spot to where he was so discouraged in the work of the Lord that he went and hid himself in a cave and was moping and kind of whining a little bit and licking his wounds because of Ahab. And God just comes along and says, "Hey, listen, buddy, perk up. Come on, straighten up. Come on, you're not alone. There's 7,000 that haven't bent their knee to the prophet Baal. There's 7,000, and he was reminded that, guess what? Even though it might not be a great number, even though it might not be that there are a lot of people that are still following after me and that are still seeking after me, understand with me, Elijah, that you're not alone." So these people would have been a representative of the remnant of those who were still following after God. Let me remind us, just because you're following after God doesn't mean that everything is going to happen in your favor, as this world is speaking. So I've been serving God. I'm one of the only ones. Listen, Elijah found himself in a cave feeling sorry for himself because, I mean, the conditions that he was living in this world were not favorable. This woman found herself a widow and was looking at losing her two sons. But understand with me, we're going to find out this, that both Elijah and both this woman, and I say this, that every servant of God that has just yielded themselves by faith and taken God at His Word and practiced the Word of God by faith, listen to me, there's never been one servant of God that has ever come to a point in time where they have not realized that God is more than sufficient and more than capable to sustain them and to take care of them and to provide for them in the conditions that they might find unfavorable in this world. And this poor woman displayed a right spirit towards God. And instead of blaming God, instead of going to the prophet and saying, "Listen, it's your fault. My husband followed God and look at the mess we're in. And how could God do this to us? And why would God allow this to happen?" No, she went to the prophet of God and she sought the prophet of God that the prophet of God would be able to give her some answers. She knew where the right person was to get the right answers from God, and she knew that the prophet of God spoke for God. He was the mouthpiece of God. And so when she sought answers, she didn't go accusing him. She went searching for him that he might be able to give her the answer, because she knew from whence the answer would come, and that's from God alone. This is her faith. These were her priorities. It was a hardship. She wasn't running from God. But listen, my friend, she was running to God, seeking God, that God would do something for her family. More importantly, for her second priority, the salvation of her sons. She didn't want to see her sons go into bondage. She didn't want to see her sons get trapped in the, if you will, in the bondage for them that would be literal servitude. They would have been forced to work. They would have been forced laborers. It was not going to be an easy life for them. It was going to be a difficult thing for them to go through. And it was unthinkable for her to just relinquish them to the creditor. Certainly, that she knew her God was able to do something to take up for her. And even though the law of the land would have permitted it, and even though it was a cultural norm in her day, that was just a normal thing. It was part of the culture. This mother sought God and sought that God would intervene in spite of the cultural norms. Did you catch that? Mom was able to stop and say, "Okay, this is just the direction that it goes. This is what's taking place. This is what happens to people that are in our position." But God intervening, this is just the norm of what should take place. But God intervening, and but God having some say in this, and but God moving in, then listen, my sons are going to find themselves in bondage. And may I say this today, but God intervening in the life of your children today, they're going to find themselves as well in bondage to this world and in bondage to sin. And they're going to find themselves in a place to where they're going to cause their mother great heartache. Great heartache. You say, "Well, I just want to live my life." I mean, a lot of teenagers. "Well, I'm just trying to do what comes natural. I'm just trying to be me. I'm just trying to be selfish and please myself." Well, I mean, we never say it like that. I mean, we're just trying to be our own person. Yep. and there was a mother fighting for them. There was a mother that was making a priority of, listen, if they were going to go into bondage, she was going to do everything she possibly could to keep that from happening. And she was going to make sure she had sought the man of God, and she has been walking in the direction of God. I'm telling you, we need some moms that are going to fight for their kids. Come on. You don't fight for your kids by just letting them go along with all the social norms. It was a social norm when there was a debt that the children would go and pay off the debt of the father. It's cultural. Nope. Listen, you would stop and you go, I just can't understand that creditor. He's one heartless individual. Well, guess what? That was the way it was in their day. Heartless or not, cruel or not, seeming like it might be harsh or not. Listen, that's the way it was in her day. And she was not willing to just stop and go, well, that's just the way all the kids are going when they're in this situation. Come on. That's just the way. I mean, hey, kids are going to be kids, and that's just the way that things are going. No, no, no. She was standing up and fighting for her children. Mom, let's fight for our kids. Don't stop fighting. Don't ever get to a place where you're just, okay, well, they're not doing right, and, you know, I'm just going to love them anyway. No, no, no. Let them know that, listen, this is not going to be okay if you find yourself in bondage. Come on. It's not going to be okay if you find yourself, you say, well, if I just tell them that what they're doing, the direction they're going isn't right, and I don't agree with what's happening. If she was just to stand back and say, hey, listen, kids, he has a right to you. I mean, they have just as much right to you. In fact, more right to you than I do, because your mom and dad just didn't do everything right. Get over that. Mom, dad, get over that you didn't do everything right, and don't make that the excuse for why your children should go ahead and do wrong. Two wrongs are never going to make a right. Never will. And so you get over your pride and you get over your hurt that you didn't do right and just say, well, it's just my fault that this is happening. Listen, it might be your fault in some sense. It might have been her fault that there were some creditors that were still due. It might have been a situation that they got themselves in a wrong spot financially. But at the same time, she wasn't just willing to step back and go, well, big deal. I mean, they'll eventually get the debt paid off. I mean, eventually they'll figure things out. No, 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 no. She was doing everything she could to avoid them going into bondage. Your kids might go into bondage. And so might my kids find themselves in the bondage of this world. But I'm telling you what, I'm going to put up every bit of fight that I can to make sure it doesn't happen. Put up all the fight I can. Those were her priorities. She wanted to stop it from happening. And lastly this morning, I want to look at her practice of faith. Her practice of faith. Look at verse number three again. Here we see she's told, listen, you got this pot of oil, go gather pots. Not a few, it says in verse number three. And then verse number four, he tells her what to do. You just take them in the house and you just start filling up those pots. You take the oil and you start pouring it out. Fill a pot, fill another pot. Just fill all the pots you can get your hands on. Fill them with oil. Verse number five, she goes and does what the prophet tells her to do. She fills them all. And then in verse number six, she says, hey, boys, come on. I need another vessel. And they're like, Mom, there are no more vessels. We've filled everything that we have. And so this is her practice of faith. Adverse circumstances tend to reveal fear or faith in our hearts. Sometimes they reveal both. Sometimes it will produce fear that causes us to not have faith. And sometimes it's going to produce fear, and we're going to operate in faith. And adverse circumstances are going to bring those around. And adverse circumstances are going to bring that to light. It is only the as we look to God and instruction and look to God of His Word and believe and act on it that we can see miracles take place by faith in our lives. And so, Elijah just asked, what do you have? Nothing. Just a little oil. Well, then take that oil and then find out what you can borrow in verse number three. Get vessels, not a few. And so then what do we do with them? We just fill them up. We just keep filling them up and filling them up and filling them up. And this is where the faith comes in. I just think this is kind of, I mean, you say, man, she should have realized what she was doing. I mean, here she is. I mean, a little bit of oil, I mean, a little cruise of oil, not really worth a lot. But vessel after vessel after vessel after vessel full of oil, guess what there is there? There's some value there. I mean, there's something that is of value that she now has. And so she, by faith, says, okay, I'm going to take this group. I'm going to go out and I'm going to collect vessels. I'm going to gather all the vessels I can. I'm going to take this little cruse of oil. I'm going to pour it out. And I'm going to trust by faith that it's not going to end. It's just going to keep pouring as long as I'm willing to pour it. I mean, can you imagine after one vessel? Here you got a big vessel and you got a little cruse of oil that's smaller than the vessel. And the cruse of oil fills up the vessel. Could you imagine her looking at her sons like, can you believe this? I don't know what's going on. Let's get another vessel. And we fill up another vessel. What at one point in time when we just stop and go, well, you know, there's just no more oil left. I mean, what's happened is already a miracle. Certainly, there's not more God could do. I want you to tell you, a lot of people get to that place in their spiritual life, where God's poured out on them and the Spirit of God has poured out on them and God's blessed them and blessed them. And then they get to the point where, I mean, that's just about as far as God can go. Listen, the oil was going to continue coming as it was her faith to keep pouring and to keep pouring and to keep pouring. And understand with me, church, as it is our faith to keep going for God and to keep by faith stepping out and doing what we're doing, so is the miraculous hand of God at work in our lives and the miraculous hand of God, mothers, in the lives of your children as you by faith continue to pour into them and to pour into them and to pour into them. Understand with me, it's only going to be to our amount of faith that God is going to be able to provide and to bless and to meet the needs that are there. It's going to be based on our faith, but if we get to a place where they say, this just can't happen, this is beyond natural, this is something that cannot take place, that we have this small cruse of oil, and it's filling up vessel after vessel after vessel after vessel. This is just inconceivable how this can take place. And yeah, while it might be impossible for man, it's very possible for God. And even greater than that, she was just doing it because that's what the man of God told her to do. She didn't even know what she was doing it for. You say, you know, she didn't put two and two together? No, no, no. She comes to the prophet after all the vessels are full. She comes to the prophet and says, okay, I've gotten all the vessels I can get. I've poured out all the oil that I have and more. Now what am I going to do? Well, come on. Put two and two together. Just go sell it. And you're going to not only meet your need, but you're going to provide for that need, but you're also going to be able to live off of it. And you're going to have all your needs provided. Well, why? By faith. You say, I mean, come on. At some point in time, she didn't stop and go, man, this is actually turning into a good amount of oil. Maybe we could sell it. According to our text, she had no concept of why she was doing what she was doing. Other than that she had faith in the man of God. That the man of God told me to do this. This is obviously the mind of God. This is what God wants me to do. And however God's going to be able to take this and do what I need done, I'm willing to do whatever I have to do in order for God to meet the need that only God can meet. She's a woman of faith, my friend. It wasn't because she just knew, oh, I get it. I know exactly what's going on. That's not faith. If you can explain what's going on, if you have all the answers and you got it all figured out and you're able to get to a point where you, oh, I mean, I know what needs to happen. Guess what? That's not. That's not faith. Because faith, listen, is going to take God's word. It's going to operate on God's word, whether it has all the answers or not. It's going to take one step at a time. It's going to just keep moving forward. And when we get done this, now we're going to look to God again, and we're going to look to the word of God. We're saying, okay, now what's the next step? And what's the next step? And how are we going to see God meet this need? Listen, that's faith. It's faith. Someone says, well, I just need all the answers. I need God to just give me all the answers. And then listen to me, you're not going to live a life of faith. This woman had nothing and was willing to do anything to allow a God to do something for her. God knows how to provide for his servants. God knows how to provide for you. Listen, our God knows exactly what you have need of. He knows exactly how to meet the needs. God knows how to provide for us. Don't look to men to provide your need. Right from the beginning, Elisha's like, what shall I do for thee? There's nothing I can do for you. But we have a God in heaven that can do something great for you. Listen, I'd be in the same boat and you would too. Now, I might be able to edify you. I might be able to encourage you. I might be able to go the extra mile for you. But at the end of the day, guess what? If I do anything of profit in your life, guess who did it? God. Christ looked at his disciples and said, you're all a bunch of unprofitable servants. There's nothing special about you. He'd say, man, that's encouraging, preacher. No, but listen. God can take you and make you a blessing. And God can take what you have and turn it into a miracle. He can do that. But don't ever look to men and say, you know what? I'm looking to that brother and that brother and that sister, and they're going to meet my needs. Listen, God said, listen, that he'll use that to give and it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. And that's true. That's true. They will. But understand, it's not men. It's God through men. And it wasn't Elisha. It was the God of Elisha that met the need. Well, Elisha got to guide the way. Elisha tried to God to help her get there, but it was the God Elisha. So don't look to men to provide your needs, especially when only God can do it. Mom, only God can make your children what they need to be. There's some great mothers that I know that have children just aren't doing anything for God. Breaks their heart. Understand? You stay on your face and pray before God. You stay right before God. But at the end of the day, you know who's going to get a hold of them? God's going to have to get a hold of them. That's what's going to have to happen. We live in a day where we can see, trouble on every side, and yet we can be as Paul. Yet we aren't going to be distressed, perplexed, but not in despair. Well, why? Because we have a God that's able to meet our need. And even in a dark spiritual day, and even in a day where it seemed like nothing was going right, and everything was against this poor woman, understand, by faith she stepped out, pour oil into vessels, I can do that. She didn't know why she was doing it until she went back to the prophet and found out why. But she could do that. And you realize what a life of faith is not trying to figure out the big picture and not trying to figure out all the ins and outs. But just me simply acknowledging, you know what? I can't do everything and I can't meet this need, but I can do this. I can get on my face before God and pray. I can read my Bible. I can be faithful. I can do. And here's the great thing about people that do great things for God and see miracles take place before God. It's not because of their so great and the great things they did. It's simply the simple obedience they had to do, the small little things that they could do that eventually add up to them seeing God do something miraculous in their life. And you want to see God do miracles in your life, then this is what it's going to take. It's going to take you, by faith, taking the steps that you have been shown that you can do. Not sitting around going, "I want to do something great for God, but I just don't know how to get it done. Listen, it's never you that's going to get it done anyway. It's God that's going to do it. But you're going to have to look at what you have and be obedient with what you have and take the steps that you know God's told you to take. Be obedient in the areas you know you can be obedient. And then listen, God's able to move in and do something great with it that you never even thought of. Say, man, I was just filling vessels. I was just pouring out oil. Yeah. And all the time you were just being obedient, there was a bigger plan and there's a bigger picture. But yeah, you filled all these vessels. Now go sell them. Meet your need. But generally when we're in just that area where we're just pouring into the vessels and we're just doing the little things that we're supposed to be doing, it is when we stop short, when we stop living by faith, when we stop doing what we can do, And then we miss the miracle of God. If she would have looked at the prophet and God, what are you talking about? For what purpose would I gather a lot of vessels? And why in the world would I try to pour out the little oil I do in a whole lot of other vessels? Eventually it's going to run out. No, if she would have gone off of human reasoning, of her own thoughts and her own philosophy, listen what, she would have still been in need and her sons would have been put in bondage. But when she submitted to just doing what she was told to do, when she just submitted herself to do what she could do, listen, God was able to do a miracle. And your life's the same way. If by faith you'll submit to God to do the things that you know you can do, God will be able to do a miracle that you would never, ever in a million years even imagined he could do. You know what she wanted? She wanted her sons not to be taken to creditors. That's all she wanted. You know what God gave her? Look at verse number 7 again. Look at what God gave her. Not just that her sons weren't taken to creditors, but look at verse number 7. It says, Go and sell the oil and pay the debt, thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. She got more than she wanted because she simply was obedient by faith to do what God had told her to do. I'm telling you, that's how God works. If you'll by faith do the little bitty things that God tells you to do, whether you understand them or not, whether you see the profit in it or not, listen to me, God always rewards us with more than we ever thought he could. Always. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed today.